Hi, I'm Shooter Jennings. Stay tuned for my small studio session coming up next.
I'm Melissa Davis, small studio producer. The following is the audio version of WFYI's September 2019 small studio session featuring Shooter Jennings. You can find the entire session, including a video of the performance, at WFYI.org/small studio. Stay tuned right after the music for an interview with Shooter from WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer. Small Studio is made possible with support from Sun King Brewing.
Portland was hot in the wintertime, and the rain hit tears that poured down my face. I wish you were here. I wish I still drank beer and had one for every year that I've fallen from grace. And I'll make you all laugh with a joke and a smile, sing you some songs about the years I was wild. My heartache, my heart, I'm a sweet melody. Oh, I'm living in a minor key. I'm living in a minor key. I still got a little swagger in my step, and I still think Hank Williams is as good as it gets. And when I was younger, I had a hunger, and I chased the thunder into the storm of regret. And I'll make you all laugh with a joke and a smile, sing you some songs about the nights I went wild. Oh, my heartache might hide, I'm the sweet melody. Well, I'm living in a minor key. I'm living in a minor key. Though my heartache might hide behind a sweet melody, oh, I'm living in a minor key. I'm living in a minor key.
This one's called Fast Horses and Good Hideouts. One, two, three, four. When I was a teen, I would always dream of the Hollywood Vampire Club. Racing the car from Mulholland Drive, living too fast for fear and too fast for love. And now that my heart is out on the run, the stakes way up high. What I wouldn't give for those simple times when my mind was idle all the time. And here's to those fast horses and good hideouts, a good old boy to rag it round, searching for a woman and a song about fast horses and good hideouts. Well, if John wasn't gone, he'd put a coin in the jukebox. Someday he never comes, And I pray that my son knows a friend like him. But the dance doesn't end for the song is done. I carry in peace, him and my doll and my daddy with me today. And I give a little piece of myself each time someone else just rides away. And here's to those fast horses and good hideouts, a good old boy on a ragged round, searching for a woman and a song about fast horses and good hideouts. Those fast horses and good hideouts, if you don't watch, you won't find out. If you find a woman and a song about fast horses and good hideouts. Song about fast horses and good hideouts. Fast horses and good hideouts. If you don't watch, you won't find out. If you find a woman on a song about fast horses and good hideouts.
Obviously, you've been doing a lot of producing. You and Brandi Carlile won a Grammy working with her.
Right on, yeah.
Working on the new Tanya Tucker.
Yeah, very
production
proud of that. Comes out next
well.
Week. Yeah, that's exciting.
Duff.
Yeah.
I hear a little Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, been working on that too, yeah.
What is it that you learn while you're writing music and producing for all these other artists that then you can take and apply to your own music and your own production when you get around finally to doing your own work?
You know, I don't know yet in a weird way, because like this year I've done a bunch of a bunch of records in a row with other people, and I'm like learned so much from each person and the experience and everything like that. And I kind of think about that sometimes, like when I go finally get through all these records that I'm kind of in the middle of, like, am I going to go back to doing a record now or what? You know, I'm kind of enjoying this so much. I'm in the middle of something, and it's like I'm enjoying the process of working with all these great artists and their different styles. And I don't know. It's like only stuff that I like. It's only people that I relate to anyway. But there's a lot to be learned from all of them. So I definitely feel lucky to be able to kind of do that. But making records with people is kind of gets... Studio's kind of always been my favorite thing, just making something out of nothing and then getting to work with all these different people in these kind of all these different directions. It all feels very at home for me to do, you know, so I'm just kind of enjoying that and writing it out at the moment before I even think about anything else, like doing another record, you know what I mean? But I'm enjoying it.
Working with Tanya Tucker, what was that like?
She's awesome. I've known Tanya a long time, but in passing, kind of just through my family and everything. And we had recorded, there's a band called Hellbound Glory that I love, that my label, Black Country Rock, puts out records on. And we were doing an old friend of mine named Adam Sheets had an idea to have Tanya on Hellbound Glory's record. They did Delta Dawn, so his idea was to have Tanya do one of their songs and do like a 7-inch kind of for like Record Store Day or something. And so that came into fruition. She agreed to do it, and she came out and she sang the song, and we shot a video for it and all this stuff. And I was so blown away by her voice, and how, I mean, I knew she's a great singer, but I just didn't know how on top of her game really her voice was, you know? And so I immediately said I wanted to do a record with her. And then I was working with Brandy on something else for her record. And I just said it in passing, and she like lost her stuff. Like, she was huge Tanya fan, which I didn't realize she was as deep cut of a Tanya fan as she is. And so I asked her to join, you know. I was like, well, you should be doing this with me together. Like, you know, and so we kind of went in, and Tanya was pretty reluctant to get it started, but because I think she just didn't know. I think she thought we were crazy, honestly, is what it was. But we got it all set up in LA where I live. We set up the studio at Sunset Sound and put together a whole team, and Brandy and her folks came down, and like Tanya, like, we literally hung out the night before we started working on this record. And I think that was the only reason it got going, was because me and Tanya just hung out this one night and had some drinks and talked about it. And I think she finally started to, like, I mean, she trusted me, but I think that she didn't know what she was walking into. But then when we got in there, it was like magic for like 10 days and kind of art in motion. And it was awesome. And I love Tanya. I love Brandy. Brandy and I really have lanes that we jump into very quickly when we work together, and it works really well. So I loved getting that experience with Brandy doing the Tanya record as well as doing the Tanya record, you know?
It seems like producing is more of a reaching out and bringing together kind of a role, as opposed to a musician or a composer where you kind of have to go in.
Yeah, it's a little both. And I think there's definitely a lot of like orchestrating that goes down. That's an area which I think I'm strong in, is just kind of organizing everything so that it kind of seems like everything's like taken care of when you walk in the room, you know. With Tanya, it was definitely like kind of making her feel comfortable. That's kind of also part of it. But at the same time, when you produce somebody, they're kind of letting you into their thing, and you're kind of trying to do your best to complement that and make them feel more comfortable, not in a calculated way, you know, and definitely a soulful, energetic way. But it's like, if you're into their thing more than they are, then they get excited, you know what I mean? So that's how I am. It's hard for me not to be that way. Anytime I get into any musical thing, I just get excited and run with it, you know?
You've been touring through the U.S. and then you'll head to Europe. How much do you change up the sets of what you play here versus there?
Versus Europe? It's the same. Yeah. It's the same. But I mean, I have no gauge how that's going to be. But with Duff, we're playing that whole record plus some really great tunes, other tunes, and some Guns N' Roses stuff and some other bands and Mike Dooley stuff. And then, you know, our set has Bowie in it and has kind of a good mixture of everything that I feel like sets up his set a little bit. Like, ours is kind of more high energy and stuff, because his is very expansive and kind of orchestrated and kind of big feeling, you know. Like, everybody in the band switching jobs. Sometimes Aubrey's playing a shaker and something, sometimes Ted's playing one. It's very, like, you know, kind of orchestrated. It's the best way to symphonic or something. So for us in our set, we have like a more rock and roll set that we do leading up to it, but we're not changing it all for over there. I think they'll dig what we're doing even more over there, you know.
And you've been to Indianapolis before. You've played here.
I have
before.
I've played the
as well.
Before,
yeah. What is it like? I mean, obviously, small studio session. This is a very small little venue. Hi-Fi is kind of a nice little intimate venue too, compared to playing big festivals. Like, you were out in Montana recently,
right?
And
right.
That kind of thing. How are those those experiences very different? Are they really very similar? And just we as the audience think they must be different.
They're different. They're different. But at the same time, we're kind of playing the same thing we do. But I like the environment of being outdoors and the wind blowing and on festivals like that, like the Montana one. But it's really not much different. We go in with a purpose and try to do it with laser perfection if we can, you know. But I love playing a small room. I like playing a club just as much, though, as playing outdoors, you know. Some of the nice weather stuff is good, but otherwise it's really not much different for us.
So obviously the PBS documentary, Ken Burns, on country,
yes,
country music.
I haven't seen it yet. My mom says it's great. I'm
okay, that's
to see
when
it.
Were you interviewed for the?
I don't think so. I don't think I was at all for it. I know she was. She's like very happy, excited about it. So I'm excited to see the whole thing. It sounds awesome.
Because you obviously grew up with country music, around country music, but as you were saying, you're an MTV kid and kind of veered the other way. But what is it about country music that you do appreciate, that you do enjoy, and that has influenced you?
Well, I mean, country music is like, it's hard, it's so hard to wrangle it all into like a sentence, but it, you know, it's like the evolution of it, the songwriting, you know, from the moment that like Hank Williams dropped his bomb on the thing and influenced so many people that led to like my dad and Willie and guys like that and Johnny Cash being influenced by Hank Williams and kind of all the different little layers of like Graham Parsons bringing it into this world and even Hank Jr. being a fan of like Lynyrd Skynyrd and Allman Brothers and bringing that sound into country and that going this way. You know, country's this evolving thing that kind of started in this songwriting simplistic, you know, kind of place, like folk place, culturally. You know, country music was called country music because it was categorized culturally. It was, you know, they felt like they could market it to certain areas, you know, of the world. But the ultimate thing is people who have made the changes in it, who have fallen in love with it. Like Tanya Tucker, when we were doing that record, Tanya Tucker told us lots of stories. Like it's crazy because they filmed every minute of the 10-day recording, which was wild, multiple cameras and everything. So it some days we'll get out there. But there's a lot of stories where she was talking about her voice. And I think it was Brandy that asked her, like, where did you get, or maybe it was one of the twins, and the Hanseroth twins that play with her, but ask her, like, where did that come from, the growl thing? And she was like, it's Hank Williams. And she was like, then she sings, she was singing like, I don't know what song it was, but it was like the honk that he would get in his voice. That was like, that's what she was imitating to get her kind of growl, you know? So there's like this evolution of these lightning rods in country music that really fell in love with it. And then we're like developing it and changing it in these steps and making what is cool country music. And then certain other steps led to what is pop country and all that, you know? But the thing that I love about country music are those people and those parts of the musical history of this type of folk music that evolved to the place that it is now. And you got like Tyler Childers and, you know, all these great artists that are young and killing it. And Brandy and the Highwomen thing they got going on and all these, just the evolution is the addiction to me. And it's so important. I get why people are so protective of it. You know, a lot of people get in the way of themselves by trying to say that they want it to sound like old. It's not the purpose of it to sound old. It's just like, you know, not doing it for money is the one thing. But that's in any genre of music. You can see what's happened to rock and roll. You know, it's like it all evolves. But I love country music for that. I love guys like Steve Young who are like hidden in the corners but wrote songs like Lonesome Honoree Mean and Seven Bridges Road and stuff. They were such a big part of country music that a lot of people don't know by name. You know, there are so many cool little pockets of people that changed the sound and influenced rock and roll and the blues and black dudes and white dudes and girls and all kinds of artists that have evolved from their country roots, you know.
As a kid growing up with your mom and dad and you were exposed to it, were you taking it in then? Or
I was. I loved my parents' music a lot. I loved my dad's music and my mom's music when I was little. But I didn't get country music. I didn't get the songs yet. I didn't get everything. I wasn't as excited about it as I was watching like Alternative Nation or like whatever at the time. You know, that was what I wouldn't trade that for anything, though. I mean, the 90s. When I was in, you know, I'm 40, so the 90s for me was when I was really falling in love with music, and that was just such a wonderful, cool, wild time in music, you know. But I went crazy over rock and roll for a very long time and dug very deep with that, and then really got country, and then dug really deep there and kind of fell in love with all these different pockets of country, you know, so it's definitely an obsession of mine to some degree, but I'm like a music file. You know, I just listen to a lot of music and try and find new things all the time.
But country is something that, you know, you can always come back to, and it sounds like you appreciate it more the older that you get.
Of course, yeah. Of course. I appreciate it all the walks of music. But country music is definitely something where once it kind of clicks with you and you really have the bug for it, it's like kind of the best medicine in a way, you know, and you definitely, it ages very well.